Hey everybody, welcome to the Piffles Podcast, a little Beauty Killed the Beast there, a nice local band out of Regina, so starting the year off, 2018, with a little something different, see how that goes. Thank you, Beauty Killed the Beast, for that song there. Thanks so much for joining us. I'm Alex.
I'm Steve.
I'm Greg.
I'm Amy.
And we are back for season three of the Piffles Podcast. Couldn't be more excited. Piffles Podcast is brought to you by the Dairy Queen on Elphinstone in Regina. Check out their happy hour specials, half-price drinks, Monday to Friday, 2 to 5 p.m. Great place, and I mean, it's a little bit nicer out than it was when it was minus 40, so what better time than for a blizzard than right now?
I think it's a solid time to go grab one.
I don't care if it's minus 40, I'll grab a blizzard anytime.
We actually did that in December when it was like minus 30.
Yeah.
Subliminal messaging.
Oh, yeah.
On Instagram post.
IG post.
Yeah,
just make yourself colder so it feels warmer outside.
That's what you should do, Amy, since you're all bundled up in a jacket right now and blanket on you and everything.
I don't want to make myself colder at all.
So we have a lot to talk about in a very short amount of time. So let's get right down to it. Follow us on Twitter, at PifflesPod. You can follow me, at RealAlexD.
You can follow me, at Safamod.
Follow me, at Greg on Sports.
And I am at CFL Hollywood.
Almost forgot.
Just about forgot it that time.
Check us out.
The words had to get through six different layers of clothes first.
Check us out on Facebook, facebook.com/PifflesPodcast. We're on Instagram as well. Just search Piffles Pod. Chat with us and interact and talk about all this big news happening in Ratterville. So much for a quiet off season. Let's get to the biggest news since, I mean, last show that we did was after Grey Cup and we haven't talked about anything since then. So some guy named Zach is now on the team, and I think one of us around this table is a little bit happier than everybody else about this trade.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Don't pump his tires.
Zach Kolaros, former Ticat, now Saskatchewan Rough Rider. Bombshell trade dropped the other day, and the Riders sending a second-round pick to Hamilton for essentially the rights to renegotiate a contract with Zach Kolaros. So before we get started talking about Zach Kolaros and what we think he's going to do here, that second round pick, just want to say that was the draft pick that we got from Montreal in exchange for Darian Durant. So Darian Durant for Zach Kolaros.
If you're going to tell me we could trade Darian Durant for Zach Kolaros and Eddie Meredith straight up, who wouldn't take that deal in a heartbeat?
You know, there's a lot of people that would not take that deal.
Stupid ones?
No, not stupid.
Durant had his fans. Yes, he had a lot of them.
Absolutely.
Here.
He's got four of them around the table right now. We're all Durant fans. I think we can all agree on that, right?
But who would take that deal today? Obviously, a year ago.
My hand's up.
We were still.
I can't see, yeah. Which is all of you.
You can hear my hand going up because I'm wearing so many clothes.
I mean, a year ago, Darian Durant, we still weren't sure if he was going to be our guy or if he was going to be the future or if he was, you know, done. We saw what he was like last year. You look at, you know, how he performed last year. I think anybody would take that deal, green and white.
And now that the Rider Nation has had a chance to pull the emotion of the deal, because you go back a year ago when that Durant deal went down, there's a lot of emotion behind it because he was the face of the franchise. They've already lost Chick. They've already lost Dressler. And now the final piece of that triangle that was the Riders for so long was Darian. But yeah, you're right. Now we got Kolaros and Eddie Meredith. And I think this year's where we're going to see, moving Durant down to Montreal, we're actually going to see benefits from that trade.
I think we saw the benefits last year just by getting rid of that salary and being able to pay, look at our receivers, right? We were able to load up on them and not worry about going over the salary cap. So in hindsight, it's never been a bad trade. But anyway, let's talk about this trade. The Zach Kolaros coming to Saskatchewan. He's our starter, right?
100%. If he makes it to training camp, I said, and you said, don't pump my tires. I'm going to be pumping my tires all episode because I rarely get things right. So I'm going to ride this into the ground. I don't care. I said last month.
Oh, that's me.
I said last month that Zach Kolaros would be our starting quarterback in 2018. If he makes it out of camp or renegotiates his contract and he is at camp, there is zero chance he's not our starter. You don't get a guy like Zach Kolaros to at least give him the ball day one. And I said it again, I don't think Brandon Bridge is Chris Jones's guy. He made comments right after signing him saying, we're still looking for other options. If Bridge is the guy you want to go with, all you're talking about when you sign Brandon Bridge is, we signed Brandon Bridge.
I think also with Bridge, there's a lot of talk that he's not a practice guy, and Jones wants his quarterback to be the first guy in, last guy out, practices like you play the game. And that's always been the knock on Bridge, is that he's not a practice guy. He's a gamer. He's a hell of a gamer, but he's still a gamer.
There is one very obvious difference on that. Doesn't like the non-practice guys. If you ever watched Daron Carter at practice, he's the only exception to that rule. You're absolutely right, though.
Well, he just doesn't stretch or anything. He just wanders around until they actually have to practice. Then he shows up. But yeah, this is Amy.
Yes.
Thoughts on Zach Kolaros coming to Saskatchewan?
I don't know why they laughed.
Because we can hear you perk up with your jacket. It's fantastic.
All right. I'm not mad about it.
And is that just because he was quarterback on the Hottie Bowl? That's mostly it, right?
I mean, he's good at that football thing, too. But he's also attractive.
Well, like I tweeted out the other day, Chris Jones is seemingly signing all these Hottie Bowl members the last couple of years. So
I think he's just taken...
That's good stuff. He sees our roster,
off my roster,
your roster, and making it his own.
Chris Jones is listening.
Hey, Chris!
So we'll go through training camp telling you who you should sign, and then that's who's going to make the team, I guess.
I got my one right for the season. I'm done.
So we don't have to hear about the tie anymore?
You correctly picked a tie last year in the standings.
Oh, that's right. That was my one last year. Although I think I got two last year, but I'm counting one as the off season when I got Derek Dennis. So maybe I get one more. We'll see. I wouldn't bet on it.
So Zach Kolaros, I agree. He's going to be our starter. You don't make a trade for him without knowing that's going to be your guy. And obviously they wouldn't trade for him if they don't think and pretty much know that they're going to get him at a much reduced salary, which is going to happen. So we're just waiting on that official announcement where he renegotiates a new deal, and I'm thinking it'll probably be a two-year deal. It won't be a $500,000 contract again. It'll probably be about a $300,000 plus incentives, I think, playing time, yard bonuses, that kind of thing. So a new face in Saskatchewan, Chris Jones, and he's still a young guy, Zach Kolaros is. He's just turning 30, I think. So the guy has another 10 years if he stays healthy. And that's the big knock on him right now is his health. I said it last year too, it looked like he was scared running like in the pocket. He didn't look like himself. And I think a lot of that has to do with the O-line. And Hamilton in the first half of the year had no O-line. Hopefully he gets a better one here in 2018 and we can keep him upright. And if we do that, I think Kolaros can be that most outstanding nominee again and lead us to that Grey Cup.
Derek Taylor today put out a piece talking about how he believes Kolaros is going to turn it around in Saskatchewan. And that, he mentioned the O-line alone because I think 30% of plays, he was being rushed and under pressure as opposed to when Masoli came in. Masoli, the O-line perked up quite a bit and he was only being pressured less than 20%. So there's going to be a big difference between Hamilton beginning O-line last year to what he's going to see in Saskatchewan.
And the fallout from Zach Kolaros being traded to Saskatchewan, we kind of all saw this coming. Kevin Glenn released, no longer a Rider. That was his third stint with the team, so don't know what's next for him. He says he still wants to play, still has that passion, and he didn't want to accept a quarterback coaching role here in Saskatchewan. And hey, all the power to him if he can go get a job as a backup somewhere again. Hopefully Edmonton, to complete the prophecy and be on all nine teams.
We joke about that being, you know, a solid reason to go, but if you look at the rosters, they make sense. Looking for, with Franklin gone, a solid backup, a veteran backup, because they've got nobody behind them who has a lot of game experience. Having Kevin Glenn as an insurance policy, it's the reason he's been in this league for as long as he has. He's the best insurance policy the league has seen in our lifetime. 60,000 yards and a lot of that has been as an insurance policy coming in and, you know, taking over.
And hate to veer this off, and what I'm going to bang the drum for Kevin Glenn as a Hall of Famer. You can't have that many yards and that much success as a quarterback, as a backup, and not be good. It just blows my mind that people keep on arguing this.
60,000 yards is 60,000 yards.
He's not a first ballot Hall of Famer because he doesn't have the years starting, in my mind. And obviously, without the Grey Cup championship, that has a lot to do with it, too. But he will get into the Hall of Fame. I don't think there's any debate about it. The stats are there. You look at the top 10 quarterback lists of every stat, he's in them. The guy's a Hall of Famer.
Agreed.
In time. In time. Actually, the interesting debate, and I'm not going to bring it up too much here, but is he worth, really quick, is he worth inducting into the Plaza of Honor? I say no.
I'd have to agree with you. His time here is too short. Yes, he's been here 3 times, and yes, he was a good rider, but his time as a starter and as a full rider, it was way too short. Like, his body work as a rider is not there.
It's really weird to say we're all on the he belongs in the Hall of Fame but category, and all of us agree he doesn't belong in the Plaza. And it's not because he's not a great player and he wasn't good here. He just wasn't great here. He was very rarely the guy. He did his job well every time he came here, but he wasn't the number one.
His best years were Calgary, Winnipeg, yep, and Hamilton.
Yep.
And unfortunately, he had some great times here, and he was a great ambassador for the team, but he just does not have the body of work as a rider.
Speaking of great times here, another player no longer on the roster, signed actually this past October 16th, and it shocked everybody, officially announcing his retirement on Thursday, Chris Getzlaff. He is a first ballot Plaza of Honor player in my mind.
Agreed.
No question.
Borderline Hall of Fame?
No.
As a Canadian receiver?
I don't think so.
No? Okay.
I don't see it.
I could flip a coin either way on that one.
I saw somebody mention that they think he'll be in the Hall of Fame, and I'm like, I don't know if I'd go that far. Plaza, for sure. He'll be, and rightfully so, in the Plaza of Honor. He was a fantastic rider, and everybody forgets that he actually didn't start his career here. He was originally drafted by Hamilton, and we got him in the Corey Holmes for Jason Armstead deal.
Tillman and always knew a way to get the best out of those deals with the Ticats, didn't he?
And yeah.
He belongs in the Plaza, if only for how much damage he did to the Calgary Stampeders through the years, period.
Including playoffs, 45 career touchdowns, one-third of them were against Calgary. 15 of them.
Yeah. 15 against 15 Calgary.
15 against Calgary.
That's fantastic.
That's insane, and we should just bring him out of retirement every time we play Calgary, that's all. Amy's laughing. That's so funny.
I'm watching a fat kid dance on Facebook.
I'm glad we're keeping you entertained.
Yeah. Professionalism.
So, Chris Getzlaff, congratulations on a great CFL career. And I have an 89 jersey at home, and that one's not going to go away anytime soon. That'll be around for a while because he was, I mean, local boy too. Normally, I don't really. I personally don't care where you're from. If you're good at playing football, you're good at playing football. I want you on my team. But how can you not cheer for a guy like this?
Played for the Thunder, played for the Rams, played all of his high school football coming up through the Regina system. Great local ambassador. Like, you can't really say anything too bad about Chris Getzlaff.
No, Canadian.
Great community guy.
Canadian True. Player of the game in the 2013 Grey Cup.
He was the cover athlete on Sports Illustrated a couple weeks later because they did that big piece on the Grey Cup that year.
I don't remember that.
Yeah, it was online.
Cool.
Yeah.
That's interesting. Mm. Well, Chris Getzlaff, congratulations on your great career. Enjoy your retirement from pro football and into your new business adventures, and wish him nothing but the best.
I'm glad he got to retire as a rider. It makes sense.
And it wasn't just a one-day contract thing, so it was actually kind of cool. So that was nice to see that he didn't have to sign those bogus one-day contracts.
You know, if Edmonton would have kept him to the end of the year, you know it would have been a one-day contract. Well,
of course,
with the Riders.
Of course.
And he should have retired as a rider, but you're right. I'm glad he got to come here for one last hurrah, no matter, and even if it was mainly practice squad.
And he suited up for his last game in the green and white, in the playoffs, no less.
Yeah, he was in that East semifinal against Ottawa. Didn't dress in the final, East final, but did play in his very last game, and not much more you can ask than to do that. So, and nobody thought he was going to play that game. It was a surprise. Oh, hey, by the way, he's playing. So that was kind of a nice thing. More news that we need to get to. Defensive back Eli Buka, no longer with the team. The Riders have released him, so he could go sign with the Philadelphia Eagles. So good for him for getting another NFL shot. Did a couple years down there with Arizona, and surprisingly came to us last year. I don't think a lot of us were expecting that to happen. Was really hoping he'd be one of our starting either cornerback or safety this year. That's not going to happen, at least not until, you know, training camp is over in the NFL.
This one hurts on a couple of levels. Number one, obviously, you're losing a top-end Canadian. But number two, we lose his rights. He's no longer rider property if his NFL dream doesn't pan out.
I'm sure obviously, there's a handshake agreement there with Chris Jones, and there, you've seen this with Chris Jones with a lot of players that he's released and, you know, go for your NFL shot, and then they come back, and a lot of them come back to him.
Yeah. So, oh, yeah. Yeah, you got to trust it's going to happen, and I have faith that if he does return to the CFL, it will be with us. It's just that extra knowledge that you know it has to happen because he's a draft pick, but and that, I wish him luck.
And that's always the one thing I hated when they removed that option year from the contracts. Players, yeah, you lose their rights if you let them go, but usually there is that old handshake contract in the drawer, unless you're Sean Lemon in Ottawa, but that's beside the point. But yeah, no, it's I wish him well, but I would love to see him back in this green and white, not the Philadelphia Eagles, obviously.
Well, we'll hopefully see that. Maybe hopefully not. That means that he's doing well and he's making the team in Philly, so we'll see what happens out of that.
The more quality players that make it from the CFL to the NFL is only a good thing for our league.
And especially Canadian, too.
Yeah,
and especially Brandon Zylstra, because then Edmonton's not bringing back a 1,700-yard receiver, so that's always good news for us, because that guy's a monster. More Rider news that we haven't talked about so far, you know, since the Grey Cup ended, and let's just kind of start with the beginning of December, because that we'll just go a little timeline there. December 5th, all the CFL All-Stars were named. Daron Carter, Brendan Labatt, Willie Jefferson, and Ed Gainey all named League All-Stars, not just Division All-Stars, but League All-Stars. All four had hell of a year. Willie Jefferson obviously was an absolute beast. Ed Gainey with his 10 picks probably could have had 15. Daron Carter, pick 6 on Levi Mitchell. That's All-Star worthy right there, enough as it is, let alone having over 1,000 yards, the catch of the year. Once he got going, he was fantastic. It was a slow start to the year for him, and I think the entire offense. But when he got on, he was one of the most dangerous receivers in the league. So much deserved there. Probably the most important news of the offseason happened December 12th. Chris Jones signed his extension with the Riders through 2019, and that's important just to keep the continuity. He was going into the final year of his initial 3-year deal. And when you go into a final year, well, are you back next year? Are you really going to try to make this team as good as possible? Like, everybody always throws that in there somewhere. And I don't buy that, just because, I mean, you're focusing on this year, but you're also looking long-term personally. Like, you want to do good so you have a job next year. And that's what he's done. So Chris Jones being here through 2018 and 2019, good news.
That extension also helps because he's not just the head coach. He's also the general manager. And you're bringing in players who you want to sign for multi-year deals, hopefully, not just 1 year at a time. And who knows, like, okay, so I signed with you now. You don't have a contract for next year. How do I know you're not going to be here next year? Yeah. And that has a lot to do with where players look, too, if they want to be somewhere for a while. That's why we end up with Derek Dennis, not Toronto, last year.
Talking to some of the players last year as well, just, you know, why did you sign with the Riders? Chris Jones always came up. It was obviously, you know, a chance to play at New Mosaic Stadium in front of the Rider fans.
All the cliches,
but money obviously is a major factor, probably number one factor. But all of them said Chris Jones, because, I mean, it's a small league. Everybody knows everybody. People respect Chris Jones in this league for how he treats his players.
Well, we've seen it time and time again. The guy lives and breathes nothing but football 12 months of the year, and that. You know, trickles down to how he treats his players and how the players see him. They respect what he does. Why wouldn't they want to come in? And the idea of leaving a head coach, GM, VP of football operations, and defensive coordinator on an expiring contract, or even leaving it till week one, week two, whatever, ridiculous. This extension had to get done. It was a no-brainer for the Riders. It was a no-brainer for Craig Reynolds. And I'm assuming a no-brainer for Chris Jones. He's gotta love what he's done so far. I hope he's sticking around for a long time.
I honestly don't see where he can go up in the CFL.
The CFL he can't. Yeah, he's reached the plateau.
He's not going any higher. Like, if he's going down south, maybe, but I don't see him going anywhere if he stays sixth around the CFL, unless the Riders run him out of town.
Chris Jones signed to an extension. Mitch Pickton officially signed again. He was on the practice roster at the end of last year. Everyone on the practice roster becomes a free agent after the year ends. So signing him is big. I think he's going to be a key contributor into 2018. Brandon Bridge signing December 20th. 1 year deal, avoiding free agency. I think that was the news, obviously, before the Zach Caleros trade, that everybody wanted was, got to get Brandon Bridge back. I think pretty much everybody in Rider Nation felt that way. And a lot of people think he should be the starter based off of his couple games and his one start and mop-up time last year. But he really did show something, and he does deserve a fair shot at training camp to be a number one guy. I personally don't think that he's ready to be a franchise quarterback quite yet. He's still only, what, 25 years old? Like, the guy is still super young. So he's got plenty of time to still develop, and especially the mental aspect of the game, reading defenses. That's where his, I'm not going to say downfall because that's not the right word, but that's where he's not ready as a starting quarterback yet.
You could tell the difference between Glenn and Bridge in the checkdowns, especially. Bridge would definitely be, that's my receiver, and then he'd wait too long. But luckily, sometimes his legs would save him. Sometimes he would find his check down. But guys like Glenn and Ray are very good at going, nope, I'm definitely not going there, and they'll move on right away. His progression reading does need improving. But that said, he's a hell of an athlete, and I think there's going to be a future for him in this league.
And it was a smart extension because he is Canadian, and while it doesn't affect the ratio right now, it might in 2019. And if that does happen where Canadian quarterbacks count towards the ratio, his value is through the roof. So if you keep him here, and if something happens to Zach Kolaros and Bridge comes in and performs well, dude's getting paid. And he's going to be a bona fide starter somewhere, hopefully here in 2019, should something happen to Zach Kolaros.
You know what stat surprised me today when I was kind of looking at Bridge's numbers and compared to Kolaros? Bridge played 12 games last year. He got into 12 games. I didn't think it was that many. Like you said, a couple. He started the one, but he got into 11 other games. I was like, what the?
He was in every game, I'm pretty sure, post-Labor Day.
Post-Labor Day, from the Banjo Bowl on, he did play in every game.
Which is...
Except for one. The Ottawa game where we lost by 1 point on the final play of the game.
Like, he had quite the body work last year, and Jones still wouldn't make him his guy. So you got to kind of look at it that way.
And he's a guy that's going to get by... Even if he doesn't improve in, you know, the reads or the mental aspect of the game, for a long time, he's going to be able to get by on his athleticism alone. He's got probably, in my opinion, the strongest arm right now
it's
in the CFL.
Cannon.
It's ridiculous. And his legs, he loves to run, and he loves to get into those dirty spots. He likes to make the hits. He's not afraid to take one. I mean, like the hurdle over the guy, was not the one he scored. Where he took the helmet to the junk.
That was in Winnipeg. Yeah. There was a hurdle against BC. There was another one, I think.
He's not afraid to go in and get the yards. And that athleticism will do him well until he learns the finer aspects of what he needs to do to be successful as a quarterback. I love this extension.
And I hope he figures it out, because a good arm will get you so far. Like, look at Michael Bishop. How long did he hang around? He couldn't read it. A cereal box, let alone a defense.
He was looking for those for what prize was inside the box.
But no, I like the extension. I wished it was for 2 years, but he obviously him and his agent know the market value is going to change at that new CBA. And
yep,
because I don't see how you cannot make an actual argument that Canadian quarterback should not count towards the ratio.
Absolutely, they should. They're just like any other position.
The next CBA, that's going to change. There's no doubt about it. There's two.
Yep.
There's two QBs now in the CFL. What's his name in Calgary?
Why can't I remember?
Yeah, Buckley and Bridge, and only more to come.
And Buckley actually looked pretty good in his mop-up time. I'm not going to say that final game against, what was it, Winnipeg, where they got destroyed, because they didn't care about that game. They had first place wrapped up, and they played all their backups. They didn't care. But, I mean, develop a guy like that, maybe he has a future too. So that's always good to see. Canadian quarterbacks will be a lot of fun. And actually, when Bridge signed that extension, he said he got a lot of messages from non-Rider fans that cheer for him, saying, congratulations, you're a Canadian quarterback. I'm cheering for you for that reason. And these are not Rider fans. If that's something that can build in this league, that means nothing but growth. And that's a great thing. And a few more extensions just want to mention here before we head out here. Javon Johnson and Thaddeus Coleman both signing one-year contract deals for 2018, both were pending free agents. I think keeping Javon Johnson is key. Keeping that continuity in the secondary is absolutely huge. You look what that secondary did and that whole defense did the second half of the year. They were second in points allowed to Calgary for the entire year. And yet here we were complaining on the show last year about how they were just giving up a ton of yards and not getting a lot of pressure. And while that did kind of happen, bottom line, they didn't allow a lot of points. And ultimately, that's what it's about. It's not allowing points, winning games. And they did that. So keeping that continuity in the secondary, I think, is huge. Thaddeus Coleman, I'm neither here nor there on it. I would like to see us go back to two offensive linemen imports on the line and go with Derek Dennis and Bruce Campbell if we could. But having Coleman isn't a bad thing.
When you said speaking of continuity, there's one other extension in there. Cresdon Butler extended for a couple more years.
He was I will say this, and I will fight anybody that does argue with me. He was our best defensive back consistently the entire year. Once he got on, after he absolutely smashed against the goalpost in BC. I was going to
say, after the goalpost.
Yeah, once that woke him up and knocked some sense into him, from what it seemed, he was by far our best. The stats won't show it. The stats will show Ed Gainey, because he had all those interceptions. And I'm not taking anything away from Ed Gainey's season, but a lot of that happened in a three-game span.
Your best defensive back are the ones who don't have any stats, and you don't talk about them.
Because
you're not throwing on them.
Exactly. So Cresdon Butler, and he's still... There's not a lot of wear on the tires for Cresdon Butler. Like he did play in the NFL and actually played in a playoff game against Aaron Rodgers. So, I mean, the guy is used to facing the best competition. So having this guy back is absolutely huge. So I think that's the most underrated signing of the offseason. And having him for another 2 years now, 2018 and 2019, great move.
I think you're going to have trouble finding anybody who wants to fight you on that comment, because it's... There's no arguing that right now. And that whole defensive back unit was great through the second half of the season. I'm pumped for our defense for 2019. A couple of holes, but it looks a lot better than it did this time last year.
Yeah. Yep.
I was going through the roster, and I'm trying to find a glaring weakness of, like, okay, why are we doing this? And I'm having trouble.
Like, the one area that concerns me is linebacker. And I mentioned this in an article. I mentioned defensive tackle. Finding one more is the key. If Nick James is back, we can rush three all we want, and I'll actually be happy about it, because Nick James took on double teams and triple teams, and the guy was a monster. So as long as he's back, our D-line is fine, with Willie Jefferson, assuming that he does have a contract extension signed, which we have heard he has, but it's not official yet. So until it's official, we have to assume that he's not here right now. But assuming that he is back, Nick James and Willie Jefferson for a full season.
I don't care who you line up beside them.
Man, Toby Antigua on the other end. Oh, man, we're set. But linebacker, kind of an area of concern, because it's so loaded, but a lot of them are free agents. Otha Foster, Jeff Knox Jr., both free agents. So those are two very key linebackers, right? But we do have Sam McGuavin, Henock Mwamba, and Derek Moncrief. And Moncrief played that cover position, that cover backer spot, so well last year that I wouldn't be surprised if Otha Foster isn't brought back.
That's kind of what I'm thinking too. I wouldn't be surprised. I'm sure that all eight other teams are probably going to be kicking the tires on Foster and Knox. And I have a feeling Jones is, okay, we got Moncrief.
Yeah, that back injury worries me, because when he came back, he... Hurt his back, and then he came back again and played one play, and then tweaked his back again, and then that was it. That was the rest of his season.
Yeah, I'm not against bringing Otha Foster back. Obviously, he was great when he was here the year before, but Jeff Knox Jr. out of those two is the one I'd prefer to see
back again.
And I think both those guys, and we've seen it, we talked about it earlier, that Chris Jones factor, they both played for him. Otha Foster followed him here. I have a feeling if Jeff Knox Jr. gets a fair offer from the Riders and doesn't get any interest down south, he's coming back too.
Yeah. And one more signing to mention that the Riders did, and this is probably the most, I'll say that he might be the people's champ, because he is the most electrifying man in the CFL, in my opinion, Christian Jones. Kick returner, signed an extension, keeping him locked up with the Riders through 2019. We already locked up Marcus Thigpen for another year. Our return team of Thigpen, Christian Jones, Deron Carter can return kicks. Chad Owens, our special teams is scary.
It's not fair.
When you're lining up and you have Christian Jones and Marcus Thigpen back there, who do you kick to?
Well, that's what I said on that our bold predictions post that went up this week. I'd kick it out of bounds. Like, who? You can't cover both of them. You run a reverse at least once and going to score, because you can't keep up. They're so dynamic. They find holes. They change lanes on a dime. Like, it's scary to watch those guys run.
And the best part about both of them is they don't go side to side. They go up and they get the yards,
and still make people miss. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, they're so much fun to watch. And the makeup of this team in 2018, we were kind of excited going into 2017 because of all the changes and all the new players that were brought in. And obviously, we could have only gone up from 2016. They were literally 1 yard away. They were 23 seconds away from a Grey Cup appearance.
And you know what? Other teams and other media and everybody, they're starting to take notice.
They see it.
Last year, people laughed when we said 10-8, 9-9, playoffs. This year, there's nobody laughing when we're making comments about possibly winning the West, possibly going 12-6. People see it. It's a realistic goal. This team is scary.
Yep, they have all the talent put in place. Obviously, there's still more pending free agents, and Jeremy O'Day said that you will start hearing a lot of those announcements in the next week or two of some of the other pending free agents. Hopefully, Willie Jefferson is the first name that comes out.
Daron Carter.
And Daron Carter would be another great one. You know, even without Daron Carter, man, our receivers are still stacked. You just replace him with Caleb Holly, and Caleb Holly has the potential to be a 1,000-yard receiver as well. So, I mean, like, pick your poison. If Chad Owens is going to come in and play like he did the final few games of the year last year, we are laughing. Our offense is so loaded. If they can just get consistent play from the O-line and health on the O-line.
And add in a bona fide number one quarterback in Zach Kolaros.
That's a scary offense. And you put that with
a Chris Jones defense.
That defense, which finished second in the league last year. That's it. Like, that's your key to the Grey Cup. Lot of stuff to look forward to. And we haven't even hit free agency yet. So we don't even know for sure what this team's actually going to look like. A lot of good stuff, lots to look forward to, and we'll talk about that a little bit later on. We'll come back before free agency starts. We'll have another show and talk about actual free agency, who we think is going to join, and recap, and blah, 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 all that good stuff. So make sure you tune in to that. But also, in the meantime, until that, check out piffelspodcast.com. Lots of articles going up. Interact with us on social media. Get us on Facebook, facebook.com/PifflesPodcast. Twitter as well, @PifflesPod. Me, @RealAlexD.
Follow me, @Safamod.
Me, @GregOnSports.
And I am @CFLHottieBowl.
You're still there. You're
still here.
Not falling asleep yet.
Just about.
Off-season is boring for some people, isn't it?
Yep.
But that'll do it for us. Want to send a special thanks again to Dairy Queen for sponsoring the show. Dairy Queen on Elphinstone in Regina here. Again, check out their happy hour specials, half-price drinks, Monday to Friday from 2 to 5. And also thank you to Kathy Festchin of Royal LePage Regina Realty, sponsoring the show as well. So lots of good stuff. And yes, that works for us, but that works for you, the listener, because of great people and companies like that. We're allowed to have lots of giveaways, and we can continue doing that. And we're going to have a lot of good stuff this year. Can't talk too much about it. Final plans are still being put in place, but there's going to be a lot of good stuff this year. So
stay tuned.
Stay tuned. Easiest way to get on that is follow us on social media. Get there now. Like us. Share us on Facebook. All that good stuff. Retweet. Get involved.
Tell us how stupid you think we are. Follow
Absolutely. Yep.
I'll gladly talk for riders with anybody.
Yep. When I inevitably get my next guess wrong, please call me out, because I'm okay with that too.
Thanks so much for listening to the Piffles Podcast. Going to leave you here with a little bit more Beauty Killed the Beast.